Is divorce a word that's being used when you argue with your spouse? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Lots of people in America don't have a good marriage. And because they don't have a good marriage, they get tired of that marriage and they take that marriage to the trash. They are so unhappy, they go to divorce court. And that is really love in America. That's love American style. See, love American style is built on an emotion. It's built on feeling without commitment, lasting commitment. Love American style says, hey, if you're unhappy, just get unhitched. If it doesn't work out, you just bail out. If you are dissatisfied, just get divorced. So today I want to look at what God has to say about the subject of marriage and about the subject of divorce.
He can heal every scar.
At From His Heart, we have listeners all over the world. But if you're from America, you might remember the old television show from the early 1970s. It was called Love American Style. And that's also the title of the message today. Why? Because the lyrics of the theme song said this: Love American Style, truer than the red, white, and blue. But the reality is, more people opt for divorce, no matter what country you live in, than to stay true to the one they love. Frankly, it's become an excuse to toss the marriage away when things don't go as expected. Well, is that God's design for this institution of marriage? No, it's not. Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, he's going to show us how to have a marriage sustained by God and not by emotion. Now, this message is from Pastor Jeff's series, Family Matters. What does God say about the troubles families face? Now, be sure to listen to any message you may miss throughout the month by going to fromhisheart.org, click the radio tab. And there, too, you can download Pastor Jeff's sermon notes from each message. Here's Pastor Jeff to explain what has become Love American Style.
Now, I heard about a pastor who went to a jewelry store, and he was looking at buying a piece of jewelry for his wife. And the man behind the counter was helping him, and the man said to him, he said, well, what's the occasion? And the pastor said, well, it's our 10th anniversary. I want to get her something really nice for her 10th anniversary. The man thought for a minute, and he said, well, I remember what I got my wife for our 25th anniversary. The pastor said, oh, well, what was that? He said, I took her to France. And the pastor said, boy, that sounds great. What are you going to do for your 50th? He said, well, I'm thinking about going back to get her. Not a good marriage. Lots of people in America don't have a good marriage. And because they don't have a good marriage, they get tired of that marriage and they take that marriage to the trash. They throw it away. They are so unhappy, they go to divorce court. And that is really love in America. That's love American style. See, love American style is built on an emotion. It's built on feeling without commitment. And they say, let me out of this. Marriages are in trouble and divorce is running rampant in America. I believe if there was ever a message that God laid on my heart to preach, it's this message for our generation today, for America. Because divorce is ripping through homes like tornadoes and leaving behind broken homes and broken hearts and broken humans. And when I was a kid growing up, divorce wasn't that big of an issue. You know, if you look back about 30 years, 40 years, I mean, it really wasn't that much going on in the way of divorce. Now, people were getting divorced 30 years ago. I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and people got divorced then, but it wasn't rampant like it is today. And you have to ask yourself, well, what has changed? Why is it so different today? Where people seem to get divorced, it's just like throwing away Kleenex. It's like, well, I don't like that. I'm gonna try something else. I think one of the reasons that things are different today is because people have jettisoned God's standard for the American standard. They've jettisoned God's way for love American style. It says, hey, if it feels good, do it. And if it doesn't feel good, throw it out. And, you know, you can do that as a person. You can do that as a city. You can do that as a nation, as a society. You can go your own way. You can blow God off. But the scripture says in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And you reap what you sow. So today I want to look at what God has to say about the subject of marriage and about the subject of divorce. And I believe God wants to speak to three groups here today. God wants to speak to those who are not married. And God wants to get your attention about marriage and the commitment to marriage and the importance of making a good choice in marriage. And God wants to speak, secondly, to you who are married. And God wants to encourage you in your marriage. And God wants to help you in that marriage. So you might be here and your marriage is bad. God wants to make bad marriages good. And you might be here and your marriage is good. God wants to make good marriages great. God wants to raise us up in marriage that it would be all He wants us to be. And thirdly, God wants to speak to those who've been divorced. And God wants to heal your broken heart. God wants to wrap His arms of love around you. God wants to do a fresh work, a fresh touch of His power and His mercy and His grace and His cleansing. He wants to speak to us today. From Malachi chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse 10. The Bible says this, "Do we not all have one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, each against his brother, so that as to profane the covenant of our fathers? Judah, the people of God, has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem." Uh-oh, what has happened? "For Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves," and watch this, "and has married the daughter of a foreign god. As for the man who does this, may the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob everyone who awakes," that refers to the master, "and answers," that refers to the servants, "from the top to the bottom. Everyone who does this or who presents an offering to the Lord of hosts," regardless of whether you present an offering or not, if you've done this, you are to be cut off. And the scripture says in verse 13, "And this is another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. Yet you say, 'What's up? For what reason? Why aren't you accepting our offering, Lord?' Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and wife by covenant. But not one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. And what did that one do while he was seeking a godly offspring? Take heed then to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel, and him who covers his garment with wrong, says the Lord of hosts. So take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously." Now, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi wrote this around 430 BC. And in his day, much like our day, the people of God had drifted away from God's moral standard. And Malachi is filled with God saying, "Hey, return to me and I'll return to you. You need to get right with me," because the people had just drifted away from what God wanted them to do. And one of the areas they had drifted away was in the area of marriage and in the area of divorce. And God had much to say about that important institution. See, marriage is more important than government. It's more important than schools. It's more important. It's the first thing that God initiated and established when he made the first man, Adam, and the first woman, Eve. He blessed and ordained marriage and family. So God has two instructions from this passage, strong instructions for us with regard to marriage and divorce. Number one, God says, be careful whom you marry. Look at verse 11 again. "Judah has dealt treacherously." That word treacherously means to act unfaithfully with respect to a prior agreement or covenant. They've dealt treacherously, they've been unfaithful, and an abomination, a detestable thing, something utterly repulsive has happened in the land. He says, "Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god." The people in Malachi's day were marrying people outside the faith. They were marrying people who didn't believe in Jehovah God, who didn't put their faith and trust in the God of Israel, in the only true God. They married pagan women. They married the daughter, as the scripture says, of a foreign god. People who didn't know God from a hole in the wall, marrying outside the faith. And God says, that's wrong. That's an abomination to me. That's utterly detestable to me. You're not supposed to do that. God says, be careful whom you marry. See, a Christian is not to marry a non-Christian. If we put that into the vernacular of today, that's what God was saying. Hey, don't marry somebody outside the faith. You're not to do that. That's wrong. And the Bible says in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial, which is another name for Satan? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? God makes it very, very clear. Don't yoke yourself with an unbeliever. You're not to do that. See, because if you do that, you have a mixed marriage spiritually. And mixed marriages in the spiritual realm cause all sorts of spiritual problems. Spiritual problems. Now, these are the spiritual problems. See, a Christian is a child of God. A non-Christian, the Bible says, is a child of the devil. For the scripture says, Jesus said to those Jews that didn't believe him, they said, we have Abraham for a father. He said, let me tell you who your father is. You are of your father, the devil. Christian, child of God. Non-Christian, child of the devil. Ephesians chapter 2 says, you're a child of wrath, even as the rest, before you come to know Christ. So you take a person who is a child of God, and you link them in marriage to a person who is a child of the devil, and you put those together. That Christian ends up with the devil for a father-in-law. Now, if you have the devil for a father-in-law and God as your father, you're going to have in-law problems because God and the devil don't get along. So you're going to have serious in-law problems. It is going to cause trouble. You go against God's clear command. Bible says in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And see, when a Christian marries a non-Christian, you are in disagreement over the most important thing in life, and that is God. You disagree about that. You're not on the same page about that, about who Jesus is and how you need to give your life to him. There's disagreement there. And you can't walk together if you be in disagreement. You say, wait a minute, time out, Jeff. This doesn't make sense to me because I married my spouse. And I was a Christian and my spouse wasn't a Christian. And I got my spouse to start coming to church. And I led my spouse to faith in Jesus Christ. And it worked out for me for good. Well, I'm glad it did. That is good. That is good. But that's an exception. See, for every one that you can say that's the way it turned out, I can show you 100 where they don't have that same testimony. See, what happens most of the time, and the reason God says don't link up with a non-believer, is because if you do that, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to lift that person up. That person is going to pull you down. Bad company corrupts good morals, the Bible says. I heard a story this week about a woman named Olivia. She fell in love with a man named Samuel Clemens. We know Samuel Clemens as Mark Twain. And Olivia was a Christian, and she knew the Lord, and she loved the Lord. And Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain, was a skeptic. He didn't know the Lord. He didn't love the Lord. And they fell in love, and they got married. And Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, he let Olivia practice her faith in the home. And she could pray, and she would read her Bible, and she was hoping and praying that God would use her to pull her husband up to faith in Christ. But that didn't happen. And one day when she was reading her Bible aloud, Samuel Clemens got very upset with her and said, Olivia, I need you to stop that right now. He said, I'm tired of hearing you pray. I'm tired of hearing the Bible read in this home. I don't believe that stuff, and I want you to stop it. And when he said that to her, he just crushed her spiritually. She just dried up. Something almost died inside of her spiritually. And she quit reading her Bible. And she quit praying. And she just dried up spiritually. And some years passed, and they had difficulty in their home. Something very hurtful came into their lives. And they were both devastated. And he said to her one night, he said, Olivia, if it will help you to lean upon your Christian faith, you may do so. She said to him, Samuel, I have no more Christian faith to lean on. She didn't pick him up. She didn't lift him up. He pulled her down. God says, don't do that. Don't link up with a non-believer. It's going to cause you heartache and pain. Be careful whom you marry. Don't marry the daughter of a foreign god. Now, let me give a tip to all of you who are unmarried. You need to have high standards in marriage. See, if you're going to fulfill what God says, don't be linked with unbelievers. You don't want to marry an unbeliever. Then don't date an unbeliever. Don't date them. See, because if you date them, you're liable to fall in love with them. And if you fall in love with them, you're going to want to marry them. And if you marry them, you'll break your heart. And if you don't marry them, you'll break your heart. It's a lose-lose. You don't want to do that. You want to set standards. My wife, in 1984, really got her life right with the Lord. She had made a lot of bad decisions in dating. She had had two broken engagements because of bad decisions, because she was allowing herself to link up with unbelievers. And she didn't pick them up, they pulled her down. And in 1984, she really got right with God. And she said, Lord, she had just broken off an engagement. She said, Lord, I'm not going to go out with anybody anymore who's not a Christian. And furthermore, Lord, I'm not going to go out with anyone who's not a growing Christian. Because she wanted to fall in love with someone who believed like she did. I'm just going to go out with people who are like-minded, who have the same values, who understand the scripture the same way I do. Someone that it's not going to be a struggle when we raise our children because we believe the same about the Lord. That was in 1984. She made that commitment. 6 months later, God gave her me. Isn't that great? God just honored her for that commitment. My former pastor told me something years ago. I've never forgotten it. We were talking about marriage and divorce. He said, Jeff, you know what the number one cause of divorce is? When you really boil it down, the number one cause? A bad choice. People make bad choices in marriage. They don't really think through. They don't go by what God says. They don't get to know the person well enough, and they jump into something, and then they're like, uh-oh. Uh-oh, what have I done? God says, be careful whom you marry. Instruction number two, God says, be faithful to your vows. Look in verse 14. God says in verse 13 that, hey, you come with weeping and all that stuff to try and get my favor. He said, but I'm not listening to you. And in verse 14, they say, well, why isn't God listening? For what reason? And it says, because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt unfaithfully, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant, your wife through the marriage vows. You've dealt unfaithfully with her. And then verse 16, he says, for I hate divorce, and him who covers his garment with wrong, says the Lord of hosts. So take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously or unfaithfully. Now, the people in Malachi's day, not only were they marrying the wives of foreign gods, they were marrying people outside the faith, but they were divorcing their own wives to marry these other wives. And they were throwing away this marriage, and they were throwing away their wife, and they said, I'm going to get this hot chick, and who cares if she worships idols? And they did that. And God says, boy, he just let them have it. He said, listen, you're doing that. You can cry and you can do anything you want and you can bring your offering, but I don't have any regard for your offering because what you did was treacherous. See, God's plan has always been one man for one woman for life. And Jesus said, what God therefore has joined together, let not man separate. It's a terrible thing. And he says, I hate divorce. I hate it. Now, why does God hate divorce? Why does he hate it? Well, notice some things with me. First of all, divorce breaks your vows. When you got married, you made vows. Now, you might have made them before a preacher, as the preacher led the service. Maybe you got married in a church. Maybe you got married with a justice of the peace. But they're vows that are made in a wedding ceremony. And you vow, you may not remember what you vowed. But they kind of go like this, because all weddings are, when it comes down to the vows, they get to be very similar. You vow to be true, to be loyal, to be faithful. You say, forsaking all others, I'll be true to you. And you vow to be with that person in sickness or in health, in good times or in bad times, until death. Those are vows that you make. You make that vow to your spouse. You make that vow before the preacher. You make that vow before God. And God takes those vows very seriously. Look what he says in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4. When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it, for he takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow. Pay what you vow. It's serious business. And the people in Malachi's day, they were trashing their wives and breaking those vows and not even thinking twice about it. And God says, you made a vow to me, and you made a vow to her, and you're dealing treacherously. He said, well, Jeff, you don't get all wound up here, because you don't know my situation. You don't know what was going on in my life. And we had problems. Hey, who doesn't have problems? When you got married, mister, you married a sinner. She's a sinner. She looked good. She was in white. She looked really good, but she was a sinner. And when she got married, she married a bigger sinner. And you just get two sinners together, you're going to have problems in your relationship. Because you're not perfect, she's not perfect. Of course you have problems. Everyone has problems. And the difference between those who get divorced and those who stay married, most of the time, sometimes there are extenuating circumstances with sexual immorality or physical abuse or those things. But most of the time, it's just day-to-day nitty-gritty problems. And the difference between those who get married and those who divorce is one word: commitment. You're just committed to that relationship.
Pastor Jeff is so right. All married people have problems. The difference is how they handle those problems while honoring their vows to each other. You're listening to part one of the message called Love American Style. It's a message from Pastor Jeff's powerful and practical 6-message series called Family Matters. What does God say about the troubles that families face? And we're airing messages about the family all month long. Why? Well, because families are in trouble. Divorce is a giant problem in America, and we need to remember what God says about that. If you're struggling in this area, Pastor Jeff has put together 2 powerful messages to help you. It's a 2-CD set called Till Death Do Us Part: What Does God Say About Marriage and Divorce? And it explores what the Bible says about remaining single, about marrying a non-believer, about how to overcome the troubles that you're having in your marriage, and when is it okay to divorce and remarry, and much more. Now, this is a timely resource for many hurting couples, and it's our gift of thanks to you for your support to From His Heart this month of any amount. And with that gift, we'll also send you the very popular 6-message series entitled Understanding the Sexes, God's Blueprint for Men and Women. All 8 messages for your gift this month to help From His Heart offer this kind of family rebuilding material to you and millions around the world every single day. Pastor Jeff Shreve is a volunteer for From His Heart. All you give goes to helping us broadcast this truth around the world. To get Till Death Do Us Part and Understanding the Sexes, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. Well, time is gone for today. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting you'll be here tomorrow for part 2 of Love American Style, right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more about that. go to fromhisheart.org.